Let's go back to February 14th, 1979. The current government of Iran was born out of the violence and confusion that was playing out 40 years ago. Loyalists from the old regime of the Shah were refusing to go down without a fight. Meantime, Marxist revolutionaries competed with the Islamists for leverage. The staff at the U.S. Embassy watched nervously as the chaos swirled through Tehran. Then one day, this day, 40 years ago, it happened. Iranian revolutionaries scrambled over the wall of the embassy compound. Later that same day, Ambassador William Sullivan described how the embassy was attacked.
We came under very heavy attack from two or three sides of the compound, and a group of very well-equipped armed men came in here, shot up the embassy.
Ken Krause was there on that Valentine's Day 40 years ago, today. He was a sergeant in the Marine Detachment charged with protecting the U.S. Embassy in Tehran. Ken Krause, welcome to the show.
My pleasure, privilege to be here.
So tell us where you were exactly and what you were doing when you heard that the wall at the U.S. Embassy in Tehran was breached.
I had just gotten off of a duty, a 24-hour on-call, and it was February. It was really cold. Snow had come down the night before, and I had just finished there when I was going back to the Marine House when all of a sudden we started hearing shots really close in. And then, of course, within seconds, we just started hearing the Marines that were near the embassy gates saying that they were taking fire from the rooftops.
So you were holed up in the embassy restaurant. Who were you with and what was happening?
I had hooked up with Sergeant Jack Hinojos and another sergeant, Stanley Locek. It looked like I was a senior one there. So basically took charge of myself and I said, look, there's no way we're going to be able to get across, you know, back to the Chancery building. So I said, look, if we can hold up here and just make sure that these gates are secure, we'll call Post 1 and we'll let them know that, you know, we have it secure. And he said, we got a problem. And I said, what's that? And he said, this place is full of civilians. I said, what? He said, yeah, they were trapped here and haven't been able to get out.
You, American civilians.
There was 19, it ended up being 19 American civilians and four FSLEs, Foreign Service Local Employees. So you got about 22, 23 people all together. But as they, we called them insurgents, climbed over the wall, they fired at us, we fired at them. And we dropped a few of them right there at the gate, and then we knew the fight was on. There was just overwhelming. There had to be 40 or 50 of them in the area. And just the sheer volume of fire kept our heads down. The bullets were going through the windows and shooting up the glass and shooting up the building, and the noise was just horrific. You know, I said, it's just a matter of time before they get angle on us and get superior firepower. And with not being able to contact anybody, you know, you're sitting here looking at the faces of these people that are terrified. And they're just looking at you saying, what are we going to do?
You actually found a way to end the fight at the restaurant anyway, right?
I was standing by a window that had been shot out. And I seen this guy walking around giving orders and, you know, looking like some kind of a leader. Anyway, when he walked around the corner, I stuck my shotgun out the window. And I caught him by surprise, and I told him, don't move. And I said, I'm telling you right now, I said, we can't work something out. I said, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to blow your head off right now.
So the civilians were all released unharmed, but you Marines were captured. What happened next?
Well, what happened is right then and there, that's where the beating started, and he grabbed hold of me, and they had caved in the side of my chest, busted a couple of my ribs, and I was laying on the ground. And he actually grabbed that shotgun, and when he looked at me, I'm still laying there on the ground. I could see it coming. And you know, I just said, God, make it quick, make it quick. And I heard a roar, and you know, that was it.
Where were you when you regained consciousness?
I was told I was taken off the embassy compound, and I was taken to an aid station. Not quite really a hospital, kind of like a dock-in-a-box place. And when I opened up my eyes, I had bandages on. I was laying in a bed. All my clothes had been taken off, and I was wearing a little gurney outfit. And shortly thereafter that, the insurgents came back in that night and said that you're going with us. And they jerked the intravenous out of my arms and blindfolded, handcuffed, and I was kidnapped out of that hospital and drug out into the snow in back of a vehicle and taken away to Evin prison.
What was going through your mind, and what did they tell you had happened at the embassy?
You lose track of time because you don't see, it's dark outside and you get blindfolded. So you don't know whether it's an hour or a minute, you just lose a lot of track of time. And then, they threw you in a room and, you're handcuffed behind you, so you can't really get that blindfold off. And my wounds had been bandaged, and I got hit with a shotgun in the chest and in the stomach. And I remember looking down and saying, "God, my stomach hurts like hell." My intestines had been hanging out, and basically all I had done is basically put what they call like gauze or almost like surgical tape over it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it just barely stopped the bleeding. And so I was lapsing in out of consciousness when they came to grab me the first time, and they finally took the blindfold off. And I consider myself being a prisoner of war for the most part. And they said, "No, this is not a war. You are a political prisoner now. You're going to be treated like a criminal for shooting and killing Iranians." I said, "Oh, yeah, that's great." I said, "Well, there's such thing as diplomatic immunity," and going on and on and on. He says, "Well, don't have to worry about that." He says, "There's nobody left at the embassy." He said, "We overran it." He says, "Everyone's been shot except you." I said, "That's not possible." And they all just agreed. So, yeah.
Right. But in fact, there had been no massacre. In fact, the U.S. ambassador and an Iranian official had negotiated the release of all the captives except for you. So were those officials in the prison just messing with you?
I would assume that they were. Yeah, absolutely. Since they didn't know who I was, they want to know exactly who I was. Did I work for the CIA? They didn't know who I was.
It's a good point to remind everyone tuning in that this is not the incident that led to the famous hostage taking at the U.S. Embassy, but the first of two other raids on the U.S. Embassy that same year, 1979. I'm speaking with Ken Krause, a U.S. Marine wounded and captured at the embassy on this day in Tehran in 1979. Back to your story, Ken. You're wounded, you're in jail in Evin prison in Tehran, and then after a few days, you're brought before a revolutionary tribunal. What happened there?
It didn't last 30 minutes. And supposedly, for the most part, the mullahs that were sitting up there there were three of them that sat on the Revolutionary Council, whatever it was, and accused me of different crimes, et cetera, et cetera. And I just got to a point where we were getting railroaded. And I just basically stood up and said, "Look, you show me the bodies, the people that I shot and killed. You show me the ballistics. You show me the evidence. You show me the forensics." I said, "So then you got nothing." I said, "So you just want to take me out and shoot me, then go ahead, but don't sit here and torture me." And they were kind of stunned. And basically, they just took me and returned me back to my cell. And you can fast forward to another couple of hours or days. And the guy that I called number two, because he spoke a little bit of English, he just stuck his head in one day and said, "To answer your questions, they found all the evidence they need, and the trial will not resume again." He says, "You'll be shot tomorrow." I said, "Tomorrow? Yeah, you'll be shot. Maybe in the morning. I don't know. I'll tell you."
Wow.
And I remember those words. I remember his accent, man. I can hear that like it's yesterday. And, you're just left there to say, "Wow, executed at dawn or whatever the hell they're going to do it."
Long story short, you were released. It was Jimmy Carter who personally intervened to secure your release.
From what I understand, it was. I was being actually taken up to the roof. Later that day or that night, whenever it was.
For that execution?
At the last minute, number two came running up the steps and grabbed hold of the guards that were grabbing me. He said something and then barking at them in Farsi. And they were supposed to take me a different way. And it was a misunderstanding. I said another 5 minutes and it wouldn't have made any difference.
So you received the Purple Heart and a number of commendations and remained in the Marine Corps, active and reserve, for 7 more years. You then served in law enforcement until you retired a couple of years ago. How does this day, 40 years ago today, how has it sat on your mind for the past 40 years?
One thing that sticks with me all the time is that, post-traumatic stress or, when these things start to bother me, the thing that's probably stays with me the most, the most important impact, is that day, 40 years ago, I made the right decision that kept 19 Americans and 4 other people alive. Had we decided to go a different way and not surrender and shoot it out, sure, we could have killed a lot more of them, but we'd eventually lost, got overrun, slaughtered, and then he would have taken it out on those Americans, those poor people. And I still see some of their faces today. I remember, you know, how horrifying and shock and puppy dog eyeballs they got. You know, you see them in your dreams at night. And the unique thing is that I got cards, Christmas cards, birthday cards, Hanukkah cards, all kinds of cards and thank yous from people that I hadn't really even met. Just the people in the Caravanserai restaurant from where they got out and went back to the United States all over. And they would always send me, either gifts or notifications, even birth announcements. Thank you so much. God bless. And if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't have this family. So, you know, come away from it all, was it worth it? I said, yeah. You know, it's my life for freedom and for other Americans. And that's what you sign up for. So it's one good thing of all the bad things and all the memories that come by. And that's something I can take to my grave with me.
Marine Sergeant Ken Krause was wounded and captured during the attack on the U.S. Embassy in Tehran 40 years ago today. Ken, thank you very much for sharing your story, and thank you very much for your service.
My pleasure, Marco. Thank you very much. Semper Fi.